Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
4 o'clock hour, Reno's in. This hour is brought to you by Battleboard Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the call from anywhere in the state of Nevada number. Got to dial 775 in the north. See, I deliver on what I say. We were just talking about fandom and cities that I can stand and can't stand. It's funny, when I call people from certain regions pukes, I'll get messages every once in a while like, I'm not going to listen anymore if you keep calling our fans pukes. Like, it's 14 different regions. Don't take it personally. It's mostly rivalries. And Greg Salerno's in for the next couple hours. Mike Davis is here from Fox 5. And I was just talking to Mike about Philly and Boston and that I can tolerate Philly fans. Like, I appreciate the lunacy of Philly fans. And I love sports radio there. Not that I got to listen to it all the time, but I appreciate how crazy they are. I can't stand Boston at all. That's never going to change. By the way, I was in a Philly bar right by the art museum.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, 4 blocks away. And I look up in the corner and there's a framed little sign that says Boston sucks. And by the way, the SO was like, love this place.
Wow.
Significant other. Not a Boston fan.
You got to love Philadelphia fans. And Craig, thanks for showering and washing your feet today before your appearance.
We appreciate this one. Fire number four. Let's go. Let's get into this. Big four.
Irish Spring.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
So we just started talking about Jason Kelce's attack on Big Soap, saying that it's all a scam. You don't have to wash every part of your body. Now people are saying, man, this guy's unhealthy. He's a bad role model. You got to wash your feet. Fox News, I sent you guys a link. Fox News is on this. That's very important. Yeah. So what do you think? Is Big Soap a fallacy here? And we only need to wash like the important parts, and the rest of the soapy water runs on it.
Well, first of all, that's an old George Carlin bit that Kel stole, but whatever.
Did you go with the real pronunciation?
Yeah, I did. Actually, I learned it from Adam Hill, and then since then I've been saying it, and I won't say it the other way anymore. But yeah, man, you got to wash your feet. It's gross, dude. It reminds me of when, like, Mila Kunis and Austin Kutcher said they didn't wash their kids or whatever, and everybody for a while was like, ew, gross. Like, what do you mean? And they're like, no, we meant like this. And I'm hoping he clarifies this because he walks around barefoot quite a bit drunk, and I would think you have to wash those feet.
Listen,
pretty nasty.
The problem is a lot of the people that are jumping in on this are like they're opting not to wash their feet, but then they're also drinking a Monster Energy drink or having Sour Patch Kids. So something's going to give you cancer. Something's going to something's going to be bad. But if you're going to opt to not do something and it's not good to go after Big Soap, that's the last thing you would go
after. Is that what he's saying? Is that it's dangerous to soap yourself up?
I think that's what he's saying.
He said it's bad for your skin if you
overdo
it.
He's saying it's bad for your skin to overdo it. I'm just saying there's so many other things we're doing in our day-to-day daily lives. That's probably number 1,200 on the list in terms of what's really bad for you, right?
Well, I think that's actually good for you. I mean,
to overdo soaping?
Yeah, whatever. At least soap up a little bit. We're getting to this point now where, you know, there's these false equivalencies where it's like, you know, is murder bad? Like, I mean, yeah, you should wash yourself. Yes. That's not a question, I don't think.
Number three.
Mike, you've been here how long now in Vegas?
Almost 5 years.
Oh, okay. You've been here for a while.
Yeah.
What did you think when you first got here with the heat and the dryness?
I was like, wow, this is super hot. I mean, I was in Texas working for CBS prior to being here.
That's a living hell.
That's a living hell.
Compared
humidity.
To here?
Honestly, the dry heat, once you get used to it, your body's got to change a little bit, you know. But once you get used to it and you live with the fact, oh, okay, you're going to sweat through some, you know, your shirts, you know, you invest in some Lululemon. I wear more Lululemon suit, jackets.
What are those, thinner? Are they thinner?
Well, you know, I can just, I don't have to go to the, you know, I have to go to the dry cleaner all the time and just get things cleaned all the time. So you put this in the dry cleaner, you put it in your, right in the washer at home and you're good to go.
I know that.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
What's the biggest size for Lululemon? Is it like 42, I assume, with the jacket size? It's for little people?
You
got to stay thin?
Greg
and I are like,
they have all different sizes.
They have 56.
It's a good investment. You don't have to go to the dry cleaner all the time. I'm telling you. Look into it.
It's kind of a little Kels there, isn't it? You don't have to wash it all the time.
Oh, my God.
He's a role model.
Exactly.
That Philly guy's in there.
Exactly.
Some of them are going to buy into what he says.
I'm a trendsetter.
Have you seen people whining about the Vegas
crazy.
Or is this based on numbers now that we kick ass in the summer?
On numbers, number two, we have like the highest tourism of any place or whatever in the summer. And you would think that it would be, you know, the colder months that people come but they come in the summer quite a bit. So I'm like, it can't be that bad. And here's my thing is, like, we all live in these biopods with air conditioning anyway. Who's outside? I mean, if you work construction, yeah. I get it. Yeah. If you're driving around in a brand new car, or you're living in a hotel, or you're in a house, who cares? It's air conditioned all the time.
Number two.
All right. I've tried to talk as little as I can about the A's because there's some kind of work going on here. They work, I was going to say us, they didn't work me. I don't think they work you guys, but they work the powers that be in town and county commission and state level to get $380 million for a stadium. The gap between the cost of the stadium and what we're contributing, that hasn't been closed yet. Then there's weird stuff of mismanagement up there. Then the Sacramento thing seems bizarre. They're teasing with Utah. Now a story comes out that they've asked for 10% of their home games potentially to be out of the market. I don't even have to get into the minutiae of this. What is going on here, Mike? What do you think?
The team president was saying, you know, he's looking at this as a way to build a brand, create some brand identity, and get more people invested in the team from out of town. I mean, here's my stance on this. I think, you know, I want them here. Let's be clear. I think it's great to have. I'm a huge sports guy. I want more sports that can be in Las Vegas. I love it. I feel bad for the people of Oakland. The players want to be here. Team wants to be here. It's not a great situation there. They got to be there for 3 years in Sacramento. I hope they ultimately come to Vegas. Even if they have to play 10% of the home games away from Vegas, I don't completely understand that. I don't understand how that builds so much of a brand identity. But at the end of the day, this would be a good thing for Las Vegas, and I'd be happy for them.
So even with this condition now,
100%.
You're good with them.
I mean, listen, there's still
eight games out of market.
It's a 30-year, agreement that they're coming here. 10% of games, okay, I could get behind that.
240 games out of market. Is that right? 30 times 8? 240 games out of market.
Okay, but that's over a 30-year period.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
There's something else at work here.
I'm 32 right now. I'm 60. I'll be 62 by that time.
First of all, their estimates to pay back their money to the county and state said that they have to sell out every single home game. Now they're already lopping off 8. Like, wait, how do the numbers work now? There's something else at work here. What do you think?
What about if 10 of those games are in Oakland?
That would be worse.
No.
If 10 of them are in Sacramento after building up a fan base for the past 3 years?
Now you're onto something.
But I'm just saying.
That's what the work is here. What do you think it is?
To me, it's like from the beginning, they act like they're doing us a favor. So right. I agree with Mike. I like that baseball here. But it's like that girl you're kind of like on the fence about. You're like, I don't know if I want to take her out. And you're like, all right, I'll take her out. And then she starts making all these demands and stuff. You're like, wait a minute. I didn't even want to go really anyway. Like,
right.
Who wants the A's that much to be like giving them conditions already? Like, I don't know. I don't really get it. I agree that we should have baseball. I feel like they're kind of pushing their luck.
They're going to dangle. I think what they're doing is here, they're going to dangle 8 games or 4-4 in front of potential future owners in Utah or in Sacramento.
Right.
So they're like, hey, we'll get you 8 games
right.
if you buy in for a certain amount. And they're playing both of those markets against each other.
And people thought they were
making... We already committed. No, we're not. No, this is not the agreement. You're supposed to build it on the Trop property, which I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be 81 games a year. To Greg's point, and this is why I get crazy over this. To Greg's point, I want baseball here.
Yeah.
I want winning baseball here. You know how you build a brand? Yeah. Win!
Okay.
Spend money on the freaking team and win!
Of course.
You can't
deny that that's going to happen once they move here. It's going to be a much better...
I absolutely can deny it.
I think it's going to be a much better situation than the way that they're spending for the team currently because they don't have fans in the ballpark.
Mike.
But why are these thoughts even there right now? This shouldn't even be a thought. I don't, it's like if maybe 2-3 years in, if they're like, hey, we like to do this
thing. But if you think about it, what is it? So eight to 10 games a year, what is that? 2 to 3 series? I mean, is that big of a deal to miss out on having 2 or 3 series not at your current stadium as a fan?
Because it's yet another sign, since we've agreed to this, of some weird discussion, weird action, kind of going back in the original agreement. It's funny, I was driving in and we just had a big discussion about us partnering with all these different people. And I mean, I don't want you to speak for Fox 5 bosses, but if you're the Fox 5 bosses, are you going to sit down and go, hey, you know what? A partnership with the A's would be great. Totally trust them. I mean, you go in every negotiation, you're like, okay, what are these guys going to pull out of left field where you're like, right? Pun intended. What are they going to pull out of left field where you're like, wait, this wasn't the agreement. What the hell are you doing here? I feel like this whole thing is going to be surrounded by lawsuits all the time. It's just weird, man.
I mean, listen.
You want to be a good partner business-wise and a good partner with the community, and they keep changing things.
But can't we all agree that there's a lot of nuance, and it's difficult to navigate a team out of a city with a historic, you know, reputation there? They won all those World Series.
Right.
And listen, the Oakland A's were originally the Philadelphia Athletics,
right?
All that stuff. So, I mean, the history of that organization and that franchise and the way that it takes shape over the course of the years, in order to get the team to come ultimately to Vegas and to get the team into a better situation, it takes – there's a lot of –
Mike, there's not a lot of complication here. We've already done it. We did the Raiders. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the blueprint.
Well, plus, who's to say they're not going to have more conditions as we go along? You know what I mean?
It's exactly.
Like, if they get away with this, then the next thing they want is something else, and then it's like, what are we doing here? Like, I don't know.
We want major league partners that are trustworthy. This is a very cynical market. It's not easy to sell tickets here. You got to win, and people really want to root for you.
Okay. I'm 32. I'm not jaded yet,
unfortunately. USOB, right. Number one.
Number one.
How happy are you guys as Eagles backers that the Vikes jumped the gun on Justin Jefferson, just gave him 110 guaranteed, and now your rival, the Cowboys, Jera, wants to play games with Dak and CeeDee Lamb. He is cooked on CeeDee Lamb. I don't know what he does now.
I mean, CeeDee might command the same, if not more, money than Justin Jefferson. I mean, the crazy thing is, you know, look at that draft. As an Eagles fan, the first thing that comes to mind is the fact that we took Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson at the 21st pick at 22. So when I saw that, it was like, I wish Jeffrey Lurie had to pay, you know, $140 million to this dude, because we literally took Jalen Reagor because there was a guy in the NFL named Tyreek Hill who was incredible, and everybody's all of a sudden like, this dude out of TCU kind of plays like Tyreek Hill. Let's take him over the bona fide wide receiver out of LSU that is just a wide receiver factory. It's the worst thing that Howie Roseman has ever done. He's the best GM in the league, but I think he was influenced by outside parties. I cannot believe that he would have done that on his own accord. It's.
I think, like you said, that he was looking for a similar player that, like, you know, was this, that was the thing all of a sudden, was he, everybody needed a Tyreek Hill, and he thought he had one, but that was not good at all.
I mean, this is one of five guys in NFL history to have over 5,000 yards in his first four seasons. The dude is just a complete stud. He's only 24 years old. I mean, he's not even in his prime yet, and he's already commanding this money. He can run every route. The question is, and this is what I came prepared to ask the professor. That's what I call Steve Cofield. Professor.
Interesting.
What Greg, do you Greg's think? Like, is he going to...
It's not that smart. He shows up.
I thought maybe he meant like N1. You know, like.
Is he going to be able to keep up with production? Because a lot of people... Twofold. One, they get worried after they get paid, are they going to have the same respect and devotion to the game? But number two, no more Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. He's going to maybe have J.J. McCarthy or Sam Darnold throwing him the ball. Is he going to still be the player that we know him to be after getting paid with a new quarterback situation?
We got about 30 seconds, so let's carry it over. I can take us to the next block by saying what I said yesterday. I do think the Vikings overpaid because of that. I think Jefferson went in there and said, hey, I don't have Kirk Cousins anymore. I don't know who's throwing to me. My production could go down. You're paying a tax. You're paying extra money because I'm not losing out on reputation because your quarterback situation stinks.
Thank you, Vikings. Appreciate it.
It helps you guys because Jerry's going to be tortured and he waited too long again.
What is he doing, by the way?
He does it all. Oh, he's going all in. 766-1400 is the number for Battleborne Injury Lawyers. They are presenting the 4 o'clock hour on this Tuesday.
Luka would be a freak athlete.
He'd be a freak player.
He'd be a freak athlete. He'd absolutely be a freak player.
In the 80s, he'd be really, really, really good.
Yes. Yeah.
Would he be as good as Magic Johnson?
Again, as I've said.
Probably on the same level.
If Luka walked on the court to play against the, like, 1984 Celtics or whatever you're going to say, I fully believe they would quit.
America's game. It's fantastic.
Well, apparently not. So I don't know what Adam Hill was watching in the 80s. He was a little bit younger. I think he was born in 79. He's always loved modern-day athletes, and I think he's been affected like a lot of us with this constant barrage of people in my age group saying, back in my day, these players now are soft. Back in my day. So now we're just coming over the top that Larry Bird sucks. And that Luka, I mean, the argument the other day, this was last Friday, the discussion the other day was about Luka's athleticism. I'm like, I don't know about athleticism.
Well, I think when you watch Luka, I think it's a lot of the Jokic effect. You know, I mean, the Jokic thing is like, this dude is remarkable, and to watch him is such a pleasure in the way he plays the game. But it's like going to your local YMCA and seeing a guy who really doesn't have the polish, but is just really freakishly athletic in weird aspects.
Again, we're going white to white here for obvious reasons. They're both white, but I think it is a lot of the same effect of when Bird first came into the NBA and. People are looking at him like, it doesn't look like he's going that fast. But he's raining jumpers in my face. Yeah. He's clutch. He's cocky. He's taking me off my game because he's talking. Luka does some talking.
Oh, he's talking. Oh, yeah. He talks more than anybody I've ever seen
ever.
He's
talking to Snoop.
I mean, he complains on every call. Sometimes he's just talking to talk. He doesn't even know why he's complaining.
I think it's the thing about evolution of sports, though. We talked about this before. I mean, if you look at even baseball pitches, I was looking at this the other day because I was arguing with some guy about Ty Cobb. I'm like, the guy was hitting off batting practice. Like, come on. If you go back to the every mile per hour per year, basically, all the way back to 2008, the average pitch has gone up. I mean, if you extrapolate that back to, like, the 30s, I mean, what were these guys hitting off? So, the same thing with the basketball. I think Luka would – he's not very athletic today. He doesn't look very athletic. I think he would be a lot more athletic than a lot of the guys he played with in the 80s, though. I mean –
it's a different kind of thing. It's not like watching Ja Morant, you know, but look at the impact that these two guys have. I mean, Ja can't do what Luka's doing. And Luka, I mean, this guy, he's remarkable. And the question is, I'm really curious what's going to happen in this series, because I think for Tatum and for Luka, this is a huge turning point for their careers and how we're going to remember these guys, because this is a big opportunity for both of them to take center stage and really show up. And we've been waiting for Tatum for years to take that authority and take that initiative and be that guy. Luka, the same kind of thing. And now he's got Kyrie in the wing, and it's kind of cool. But I want to see one of them take that star power and take that initiative and go kind of MJ. And that's what I'm looking for.
Greg Salerno, Mike Davis, Fox 5.
I was just going to say, this is a totally different game now, too, though. I mean, Larry Bird shot 2 threes per game. People make, you know, they have this like nostalgic feeling. He was just raining threes the whole game. They didn't play like that back then. So, I mean, Luka's shooting a much higher percentage and a much more quantity.
What
I don't know.
Did? Do you think Bird would have been like a 43% shooter?
It's possible.
And had 200 made threes a year?
I mean, it's possible, but.
Or more.
Know, it's like saying, you know, if this guy's had the same weight training, maybe. I know guys that go to the gym and nothing happens. You know what I mean? So not everybody's body responds the same way to the same weight training, the same training. I don't know.
Plus, Luka's been a pro since he's like 14 years old. He was playing professional basketball since 14. I mean, some people were going to, you know, middle school dances. You know, I mean, that's what Jason Tatum was going to a middle school dance while Luka Doncic was literally, you know, making a salary for his family at 14 years old. So, I mean, this guy is remarkable. I think the way that he talks and the trash talk and maybe his build, maybe we get lost in some of those aspects, but the shots he makes, he's pretty remarkable.
I agree with you that this is important for them. I don't believe it's the only time they're ever going to make the finals, although, you know what, I've said that before, and then guys got we're one and done.
Yeah.
But it is a platform they've never been on. I mean, Tatum's been up at this level before, but this is a chance for one of them to have a mega coming out party by winning a title.
How do you feel about Tatum as like a premier player in the league? Because I feel like he's a very good player, but I feel like he's also been like thrusted up into this stardom level that like I don't think he's on Luka's level at all.
I think a lot of it's his personality, right, Steve? I mean, don't you think it's because he doesn't have the demeanor that we're looking for? He doesn't have the Anthony Edwards flair that we're looking for. So because he's shy, because he's reserved, because he kind of leans into himself, it's hard to put him in that category, but the numbers don't lie.
That's a good point.
I mean, Luka playing for the Mavs didn't have Kyrie until the last couple of years, so Luka was the star. I mean, Tatum has kind of grown up with Jaylen Brown. So you're talking about guys together who average like 54 points a game, and one's 27, one's 26 and a half, and I'm not age, but points per game. So, I mean, I don't think you want to have Tatum as the only guy on your team. I think you need the running mates. So, but yeah, Luka's a phenom. Funny enough, they're only 1 year apart in age. Like, we act like that's Tatum's so like crazy. So much older.
Right.
I think that's right. Yeah. I think they're 26 and 25.
Once again, as a, you know, Philadelphian, that draft, Lonzo Ball, Markelle Fultz, both before Jason Tatum. You passed on the Duke superstar. Yep. I mean, just
as a Chuck Knobloch trying to shoot free. He couldn't even shoot.
Just madness to think about.
Yeah, and that can take the whole process. Something like the process. People are like, it didn't work. Well, they didn't make the right draft picks.
No.
They botched it big time. I mean, Sacramento has to look up every season and go, Luka, who'd they take?
They took Marvin Bagley.
I was going to call him Barnes. Marvin Barnes from like Providence.
Marvin Bagley Jr.
Bagley.
Yeah,
and that's who they chose over him.
And the Hawks did the swap with Trae Young.
Yep.
There's a lot of interesting stuff with it. I think a lot of this is culture. To me, the two fascinating things I'm looking at in this series is Mazzulla versus Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd has done a phenomenal job with this. Why are you smiling?
I think it's a funny development because Jason Kidd years ago, people got on him because they didn't think he was a great coach. Coaches grow. I don't know if Mazzulla is substandard or, again, maybe it's a personality thing where he's so reserved. You're like, I can't get anything out of him. I can't figure him out.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to talk to anyone.
He's got a great roster. Ime Udoka, Brad Stevens, they built a great culture, great team there. I think the Porzingis factor is going to be huge as well. I mean, if he comes back, I think that's going to be a big deal. Right now, he's slated to play. So, I mean, that's a big development. If he can... Their top six is good. I think after that, it's a little iffy. So, it's going to be an interesting thing, and obviously the P.J. Washington stuff.
The thing I like about Jason Kidd is when he didn't have any timeouts and he spilled the drink, forever in my heart with that one. I think it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Salerno, Mike Davis is in studio with us. It's Cofield and Company here, moving towards a halfway point. So one last thing on a rooting interest. This room is split. As Philly guys, you can actually root for Boston. You like the stories on the Boston side because I'm – 1,000% Dallas. I already explained why I am. I saw a Twitter info thing from a sports book that said 58% of U.S. states are rooting for Dallas.
Yeah.
58%. It should be freaking, how many states are in New England? 5, 6, whatever. Every other state, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Who's rooting for the Celtics?
It's
an overall evil empire.
I like the Celtics players. Like, if I got to hang out and have a beer with the Celtics players, I think
that's
good,
the problem.
They're good people. But I'm not rooting for Boston ever, ever, ever in my life. So,
I'm
going Luka.
Actually, growing up, I was more of an Iverson fan than a Sixers fan, but I was actually a Mavericks fan because I loved Steve Nash and Dirk Nowitzki. Those were two of my favorite guys to watch those teams, the Don Nelson teams with Sean Marion and all those guys. Nahara and all those guys. I used to love those teams. So I'm kind of a Mavs guy, and I'd like to see them pull it out. And come on, Mark Cuban, a little. Even though he's not as involved as before, I'd love to see him go a little crazy during the finals. It'd be fun.
Let me throw another angle out there, and this one's crazy. And there's no way I'd think that I would say this 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Old me would be punching current me. How big is this for the NBA to get a really good long series, megastardom drama to fend off the pressure, the clicks that the WNBA is getting right now? The WNBA and Caitlin Clark and all these different angles. First Take is because they're fighting each other.
I know.
They're talking more WNBA 2 days before the NBA Finals.
It's actually...
That's crazy.
It's
And so am I. That's crazy. I'm going to get fired. But maybe not. That's how people love stories.
Yeah.
People love angles. Well, that's why the Boston fans in game one they absolutely have to deliver like raved, frothing at the mouth, lunatics. And there's got to be like a Kyrie, give him the up yours. Like that heat is kind of, people love storylines. And I know people out there are like, stick to sports. You know where you can stick to sports? Go listen to all the podcasts, right? I'm not losing out on this. There are podcasts that specialize. That's where that stuff is now. You can find what you're looking for. But I'm telling you, the masses, and that brings in all sexes and all ages, love the storylines.
Yeah, well, basketball runs on storylines.
It always has.
At WNBA, the NBA, it's always a storyline. It's always the best drama. And right now, the WNBA has the best drama going on. I mean, there's no LeBron. There's no Curry. There's no a lot of the guys we used to see in the playoffs aren't there. So they have to kind of create their own drama. I think Luka will probably at some point. Like you said, he's going to do something crazy or say something or yell at somebody. And there will be some kind of drama. But, yeah, right now, the WNBA is killing it with that.
Yeah,
I mean, someone on the Dallas side has got to tell Luka, bruh, on the walk-in, wear a Larry Bird jersey. Wear a Larry Bird jersey.
Right.
And then after we win game one,
yeah,
make sure someone gets a shot of you lighting it on fire.
Well, it's kind of
true. And laughing.
But it's
and
funny.
Urinating on it to put it out.
It's funny you say that.
Let's go.
Because if you look at WNBA social media, you look at the way that these young players and even vets are treating social media and the way that they're interacting with just kind of like narratives and subplots and all that stuff. They're walking into stadiums and stuff with the swagger, with interesting storyline developments that are things that you can really, you know, talk about and that facilitates conversation. I think that's why we saw so much of the Anthony Edwards being jammed down our throat. Is he the next Michael Jordan? Because it was a storyline, it was a narrative that would have helped the NBA. If the Timberwolves won that series, it was going to be nonstop. Is Anthony Edwards Michael Jordan? There's even people out there who think because Michael Jordan at one point was having, you know, intercourse with 3 or 4 women a day, that he's actually a child of Michael Jordan. That's a theory out on the internet right now. I'm not kidding. So, I mean, people are beholden to a lot of these storylines, and you're right. The WNBA is killing it when it comes to storylines.
I will say this. Someone in the studio has to say it. The storylines around the WNBA are great. Let's not forget the level of basketball we're watching here. The NBA is the highest level. Execution, they make layups. So I don't want to get lost in this whole thing. Popularity, NBA, WNBA is catching up.
You're listening to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Halfway point of the show, so I was going to go off on a tangent. Hammer some old broadcasters, but I'll be nice. It was fascinating today. I was just talking about the WNBA stealing some of the thunder on talk shows from the NBA Finals, and it was kind of fascinating today to see some of the old heads, like Kornheiser and Wilbon and Bob Costas, speaking on the WNBA. I just noticed I can't refrain. I just noticed someone said this is Kornheiser and Wilbon talking about Caitlin Clark exemplifies why they've had the best sports talk show in America for nearly 25 years. So. They've had the most exposure, but Wilbon was going on and on about, like, we're the ones having the tough conversations, not being sensitive. Like, a lot of us are doing it, so cut it out. Listen, as we get older, as an older guy, we feel more fragile. And we have to kind of jump back in the game every once in a while to go, hey, we're virile. You know what? I still got it. Okay. If you think you're the only one doing the tough talk and the hard conversations about race and hetero and homosexual and all the other things, right? Women and men and all of that, then you're right. You're the only ones.
Well, it also matters silliness. If your take is awful, it doesn't really help anyway. I mean, they just completely ignore the facts and just say things, and it's just like I don't even know what I'm watching half the time.
I do agree with them. We need to have real conversations about what's going on here.
No, you're right.
And I think a lot of people around the WNBA are trying to like squash it down because they think it makes the league look bad. These conversations are going to help the league, and all of this exposure is good exposure. And everyone can have an intelligent conversation about this, and it doesn't mean you're wrong if your view of what's happening is different than others. But don't shut down the conversation. But the people who drive me nuts are the ones who are like, "I'm the only one doing it." You're not.
Right.
You're not.
Well, you were the first person who kind of, to me, made the comparison. You were the first person who I've heard a lot of people say this, but after the fact. But you were the first person to say the Caitlin Clark effect was very reminiscent of what Tiger Woods had done to golf. And it's
I said Caitlin Clark in the WNBA is going to get the same kind of reaction as golf gave Tiger Woods. Now, it's not a person of color, you know, Fuzzy Zeller going at him and saying, you know, what's going to be at the Masters dinner, fried chicken and watermelon, and collard greens. Like, it's not that. It's different this time. But, yeah, the hate is real, and I don't think people can see, like, listen, through all of this pain that they in the weird topics and the arguing, all of this that they're going through is going to – you're going to come out the other side and go, oh, my God, we're making so much money. This is sports, man. It gets mean. It gets nasty. We have hard conversations sometimes. And then you just get bigger and bigger. You get new TV contracts. This is good.
Well, nobody likes debating more than me. In fact, I have a debate show. It's just – sometimes there's numbers, though, and – yes. You know, it's like, come on, not everything's debatable.
I mean, right. Like, who? You know. Why is the popularity up?
Right.
Oh, it's because of the building blocks. Not really.
Right.
You deserve some credit, but obviously this is a phoenix rising here. And she may flame out. Like, I'm not saying she's Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods then delivered and made money for the idiots like Fuzzy Zeller. This may be a quick effect, and they get a burst. And then there could be Caitlin Clark's coming along, who actually are what you expect, and that is the best player in the league.
I'm hoping. I mean, she's rookie of the month, 17.6 points per game, a little over 6 assists, 5 boards. I mean, she's playing pretty well for the amount of attention.
How dare you say that? She sucks. She's not efficient.
I just think the effect is just – I'm flabbergasted continually. I mean, do you realize that in 5 games this year, the Fever surpassed what they did in attendance for the entire season last year?
But that's because of Diana Taurasi. Don't forget her. We're not forgetting her. And she's not going to let us forget her.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And she should – if they want to pipe up and – I just – but I'll tell you on the floor, like – The flip side of is the kind of some of the dirty play over the line going after.
Yeah.
You're not going to change the rules. The league can't speak to other teams. I frankly, if I got a talking to from Kathy Engelbert, the commish of the WNBA, if my team got a talking to about I got to play different, I think I forfeit the game. Now, I do these things because I'm not actually involved in the sport, but I'd be absolutely not. Are we changing what we're doing? Mike, we got to go. So we're up against it. I know. It's like I'm going on and on. We got to go. I appreciate you coming in. I'll give the pop to Fox 5 and Sin City Beat and Silver State Sports and Entertainment Network on the way back.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Another day of screaming and yelling. Not by Salerno. I'm getting all fired up. We got another 90 minutes on the way. Let's cover some of the betting angles of NBA, NHL, also a little baseball, TV struggles. Let's get Sam Panayotovich on the horn here. Sammy's up with Greg. Not Craig, Greg Salerno and Cofield. Sammy!
I've been writing Greg, G-R-A-I-G, for the last 10 minutes, I swear, just to get it right.
Well, I mean, I told him this before. It's the spelling. It's stupid. I know Greg Nettles spelled it that way, but
I know.
Come on.
Why are you stupid?
Just change it.
I know. I'm left-handed. I couldn't even play third base anyway.
Why don't you just change it?
I don't know. I've been called Craig my whole life, so I just kind of go with whatever somebody says.
He's giving up, Sam. Yeah. Sad. Sad to see.
I can't believe you just called his name stupid.
I mean, my name's kind of stupid for radio, too. I probably should have changed it.
It's actually my middle name is your name, so it doesn't matter.
I mean, I should have been like Morning Guy Coffee Stevens. That would have worked, and no, instead I go with a stupid name. So what's up, buddy? I saw your something about Xfinity and $500, and we've been talking about TV struggles. Are you having trouble?
Is Xfinity a sponsor of this program?
It doesn't matter. If you need to go in on it, we talked a little bit about our friends at Chipotle yesterday, so it happens.
Kind of matters, but I digress. So I've been a YouTube TV subscriber since August, and it gives me every channel I could possibly need. I get all the sports, all that stuff, Sunday tickets, so I've fallen for YouTube TV. So I've been crunching the numbers and sort of putting it off. Like, I could probably save, you know, $30 or $40 a month if I just drop my super-duper cable package I have with Xfinity. And you know how it goes. When you try and downgrade your package on the computer, two things happen. One, you either get kicked out, or two, the connection slows to a crawl because they know they're trying to, like, keep you from, you know, getting money back. So I drove in today, and a long story short, I said, look, I don't watch TV. I haven't flipped it on in 3 months. I want to go to the minimalistic package with the 10 or 12 channels. And she's like, hold on, let me punch up your account. Oh, by the way, what phone service are you with? Oh, by the way, how's your internet going? Like, just punting. 6 minutes later, she goes, well, so I crunched the numbers for you, and it turns out, like, you could save $40 a month, which, you know, at the end of the day isn't really worth it, I would think. And I cut her off and said, ma'am, I can save $480 a year. Yes, it's worth it. Drop me down to the bottom. And she did it.
Wow, it worked. Okay.
I almost respect, though, how bold she was. Like, $40 a month, that's no big deal. In this economy? Yeah.
It is. It is. But I like her regression. She's following management orders. What are we going to do in the NHL before we get to the NBA? What are we going to do with the series? Because it is kind of a toss-up series. Edmonton and the Panthers.
So if you like Edmonton in game one, just bet them to win the series. I mean, that's the advice. I personally haven't made a play on the Stanley Cup final. I have a couple angles on the NBA finals, which I know we're going to talk about. Edmonton plus 110 to win the series. You know, if they win game one or at least get a split going back to Edmonton, they're going to be favored to win the series. And always think about this, too. The best player, Connor McDavid, is going to win the Conn Smythe if the Oilers win the Stanley Cup. So, you know, if you're thinking about the Oil, which I sort of lean that way because the price, you know, 130, 140 on Florida feels a little bit steep. They get the extra 20 cents off the minus 110 because they have the seventh game and four games at home. But this is about as even a series as I could make it. So I guess, like, gun to my head, if you made me make a bet on the Stanley Cup final, I would look at McDavid plus $2, plus 220 to win the Conn Smythe. If Edmonton wins it, he's going to win that award. But I don't love either side, really. It's a very tight series. I can't wait to watch it. But no bets yet.
Sammy, we're talking about the NBA Finals here earlier, and it looks like the Celtics, to me, have a better roster, you know, from maybe 1 through 6 or whatever. But the prisoner of the moment thing, I think, is Luka. You know, everybody wanting to go with Luka, Kyrie, all this stuff. And originally, they still are. The Boston was favored, but I see a lot of money going on the Mavs. How do you see this winding up?
It's funny you bring that up, Greg, because the narrative, every narrative, Bill Simmons, Zach Lowe, Stephen A. Smith, you know, all the big talking heads with big followings around basketball are talking about Boston can't stop Kyrie and Luka. And they may be right. But what happens is when everybody says that and the fans start to believe it and the bettors are watching TV like robots going, they're right, it's going to cheapen the series price. And to me, it's about numbers. If you were to make this series price before the postseason, we're talking Boston minus $4, minus $420. The price now at minus $210, minus $215, minus $220 is so stinking cheap. I just can't be talked out of Boston. And Steve, we've talked about this for months on your show. I'm not the biggest Celtics guy in the world. They shoot too many threes. They're very top heavy. I think their coach is a goof. But we're talking about laying $210 at one sports book, $215 at another. You get the better team. You get the deeper team. I think Jason Tatum is better than Luka Doncic. And oh, by the way, you get four games at home. I can't get around the dip in that price. I'm all about the adjustments. It should not be Boston minus 400, but it also shouldn't be Boston minus 200. The true price to me, probably minus 260, 270, which gives me value on the Celtics. Minus 210 is a silly price. It's silly how cheap it's gotten.
Sam Paniadovich is with us, Fox Sports, our Tuesday gambling expert. Okay. Interesting that you said. I haven't heard that many times. The Tatum, you believe he's a better player than Luka. MVP-wise, are they both non-plays? Well, I mean, how do we make money on the MVP? Is 130 a good number for Tatum?
I just don't think it's a bettable market. It's funny. You listen to all these shows, and people talk about value. And to me, value is the funniest word in gambling. Because a guy will go, well, there's value on P.J. Washington at 300-1. And yes, there may be value. But is he going to win? No. You know, like, people always talk about the value. Oh, I like the value on this team at 40-1, and they don't make the playoffs. So value is always relative. The books are basically telling you, by putting Tatum at minus 110 and Luka at $180, $192, it's one of those guys. You could maybe sell me on Jaylen Brown, but Jaylen Brown's price is now too low because he just won the Eastern Conference MVP. It's going to be Tatum or Doncic. That's not exactly the sharpest thought in the drawer, but I'm not betting any of these longer shots. Jaylen Brown, Kyrie Irving, Porzingis, they are willing to give you Kyrie Irving 20-1, 25-1. They're willing to give you Porzingis at 35-1. And there's a method to the madness behind the counter for those numbers.
How important is it for Boston to get off to like a hot start? Because a lot of times they'll, you know, start a series and all of a sudden they lose a game they shouldn't lose, or they get blown out in a game they should have won. Do you think that would change as the series goes on? Or do you think that people realize it's Boston and they might just drop one for no reason?
It's a very good point. You know, that's been their bugaboo early in the series. going back 3 years now with this core, with Brown and Tatum. I mean, either lose game one or lose game two. Hell, last year they went down 0-3 to the Miami Heat before winning three in a row and forcing that seventh game that they eventually lost to the Heat. There was a bet floating around that I saw, Celtics to win game one and win the series, and it was minus 125, which feels kind of cheap. I mean, think about it. Boston is what, a 6-point favorite in the game? So, you know, you think about that money line extrapolation, Boston's what, minus 250 in game one, and if they win game one, they then go even higher. They double to win the series. So if you can find that in Vegas, I don't think that's a dumb bet at all. I understand people don't want to lay 210, 220 on Boston to win a series. But if they do come out hot and they do play well, which they should. I saw this number, which is fascinating. I'm not a big trends person, but the last, let's see, since 2005, favorites in game one of the finals are 16-3 ATS. So favorites have covered 16 of the last 19 game ones in the finals. All you have to do with that bet, though, is just win the game as a 6-point favorite. So if you can find that at Circa, Superbook, Station, South Point, Celtics win game one and win the series, minus 125, minus 130, that is certainly worth a look.
Let's hit a couple of baseball points with Sam Panayotovic, SP Shoot, up on Twitter. Chicken X Dinner podcast, Fox Sports gambling analyst. All right, so I saw your note about the Chicago White Sox TV announcer describing the action with Pham and Contreras. Let's play this for the audience, and I want to get your reaction. Fire this.
And now home plate umpire Edwin Jimenez has to hold back Pham. Nah, we ain't taking that. We ain't taking that from the Brewers. I don't care how many L's we got this year. We ain't taking that.
There you go. John Schifrin, actually in the middle of the fight, was just about to throw punches. What is he? What? Why? What are we doing here, John? Come on.
I don't know what his deal is, and I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt coming into a new season with a horrible team. And look, them being bad is not news. I told you before the season to bet them 4-1 to have the worst record, and now they're minus 280, I think, to have the worst record. They just lost their 11th straight game in a row. And I thought it was so cringeworthy. You know, if we could isolate that clip again one more time, we ain't taking that. Bro, you're 30 games under 500. Like we don't want to hear that. As much as you want to include yourself and make this about you, you stink. The team sucks. Ownership wants to move the team to Nashville. It is like I am as apathetic as I have ever been as a White Sox guy. I wanted them to win multiple World Series this decade, and they were supposed to, according to the team. Well, here we are in 2024. They are 30 games under 500 the first week of June. Everybody just shut up. Like, I want them to be so bad. Like, I want them to be Major League bad when the owner wants to move the team to Boca Raton. That's how bad I want it to get, and that's sad, but it's true. And the announcer doesn't help. Like, can we cut the crap with this? We ain't taking that. You're not on the team.
I got one story left. Do we talk Pirates betting, or do you have a quick reaction on how to handle the gambling side of J.J. Redick possibly being the Lakers coach? You pick.
I texted Jeff Sherman at Superbook. I said, what does this do on Redick? He said, nothing. So minimal movement
downgrade
on Lakers futures. Minimal. Yeah, he said it doesn't matter. Doesn't change anything. As for the homie who was betting Pirates games, how do you bet all those games and risk $150,000 and only win 4% of your bets? How is that possible?
What was he doing? What
did you see that?
No, I didn't see it. So we got about 30 seconds left. Yeah, give me the quick Cliff Note version.
He bet on 25 games and only won 4% of his wagers.
Oh, my God.
4%.
Oh, I thought you meant his return.
How hard it is to win 4%?
I thought his return was 4%. I'm like, that's not bad, actually.
No, he won 4% of his bets. That is the ultimate fade.
Oh, my God. This stuff ain't easy,
four.
Man.
Four.
This stuff ain't
four.
Easy.
Four.
How many? Or how much? Four?
4%.
Okay. All right, Sam. We appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
See you, man.
There he is. Sam Panayotovic. He's got some doozies, some conversations that he has up on social media. And right now, we're in the slow time. Football's not even here. This is going to be the biggest football betting season ever. It's going to be wild, too. Real wild. 5 o'clock hours on the way. Salerno continues with us.